Hello, Disney fans, and welcome to the show. My name is Austin Terrace, and I'm joined here today by my wonderful sister, Emma.
Hi, everyone.
Coming up on this episode of Disney Daydream, reopening dates have been set for all remaining Disney World hotels. New nighttime spectaculars are coming for Magic Kingdom's 50th anniversary, and new casual dining locations are coming to the Disney Wish. Later on, we'll share some memorable experiences from our latest Disney trip and give you some tips for visiting the theme parks in 2021. So, take a little break in your busy day and let's start daydreaming. So much for tuning into our show. We know that you've got a lot of choices when it comes to Disney content, and we appreciate you whether you're a first-time listener or whether you've been supporting us all the way through. This is our 48th episode, so yeah, it's kind of cool to think about. We're approaching number 50. Maybe we'll try to do something special for our 50th episode. That would be pretty fun. And yes, Kylie is not with us today. She is fine, but she would appreciate some well wishes, I think. She underwent surgery when we got back. It was an outpatient procedure, nothing too invasive, but it was a knee surgery, so she's recovering, and she will be fine. Emma, you were with her. How's she doing?
Yep. She's doing great.
All right.
She was watching the Disney Plus show. It's like the Magic of Animal Kingdom or something. So she's been having a good time, I think. I mean, as good as you can. But, you know, she can like move around and walk. She's just supposed to rest. So she'll be fine.
We'll make sure to continue our conversation about our most recent Disney trip so that she can share her thoughts on that. And before we hop in, because I mean, we had a great trip. There's so much to discuss and talk about. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Diz Daydream, and make sure you've liked our Facebook page, Disney Daydream Podcast, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts from so that you never miss one of our episodes. And if you want to be the first to see some video content that we took, then you will want to check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/DisneyDaydream. Our fantastic financial supporters of our show, we really appreciate them, and they get some special perks for that patronage. And a new perk that we're bringing is exclusive video content. And before we put anything up on social media or on YouTube, our patrons get to see it first, so they'll get to see a really cool room tour at Old Key West, and they'll also get sneak peeks of our vlogs that we took throughout the trip. So that's coming out to every patron, even those that are at our first tier. We call that Boarding the Magical Express, and you can join that tier for just a $3 a month donation. So even if you're a part of that tier, we really appreciate you, and you will get to see some of that content. Before we get too much into our actual trip, there has been a lot of really exciting news that's come out from Disney about their further reopening and about the 50th anniversary. We're finally getting some more exciting details about that, so we're going to be bringing you those news stories on this episode. First up, reopening dates have been set for all remaining Disney World hotels. For months now, one of the questions that a lot of fans have been wondering is, why on earth is Port Orleans Resort still closed? And when is it going to reopen? And as Disney continues to ramp back up to full force, 100% capacity, we finally have that answer. The Riverside section of the resort is going to open back up again on October 14th. And 2 weeks later, the French Quarter section will reopen on October 28th. In addition to this, the two All-Star resorts that have remained closed throughout the pandemic will also be reopening. All-Star Music will be first to reopen on September 16th, and then All-Star Sports is going to kind of bring up the rear and be the final Disney World hotel that reopens in December, on December 9th. So with this announcement, we now know that every Disney hotel property will be operating by the end of the year, and that has just kind of fueled even more speculation and assumptions that by the end of 2021, Disney wants to be back at that 100% capacity. I think that, honestly, Port Orleans has stayed closed for this long just due to staffing shortages. Because if you think about it, it's a pretty popular resort, but it's really huge, and especially the Riverside section. And I just don't think that they really had the staff to open up all these places as quickly as they wanted to. And if you think about it, they've been offering like $1,000 sign-on bonuses for housekeepers. So just resort operations has been a real reopening difficulty for Disney over the last year. But Disney had a really smart reopening plan a lot of the time because they would decide to start or finish renovations before reopening the resorts. So all the stuff that didn't need work, that's kind of the hotels that opened first. And then, you know, things like the Polynesian, they were pushed back. So it makes sense why the All-Stars, these two places at the All-Stars are last, because Pop Century and All-Star Movies got a really, really nice room renovation, and they just saved sports and music for the end so that they could finish up all of those rooms. But that's why people were scratching their heads, because as far as we can tell, nothing has kind of been done to Port Orleans. It's just been sitting there without any type of refurbishment. So I'm sure a lot of people are happy that that is coming back. If you were thinking about doing a last-minute trip to Disney, right now is a fantastic time to book, because with this announcement, they also opened up a whole slate of new hotel rooms at the moderate resorts. So if you enjoy Coronado Springs or Caribbean Beach, or if you do like Port Orleans, Riverside, or French Quarter, a lot of room categories that looked like they had sold out are now back open and available for the remainder of the year. So it's a good time to get in there before everybody else does and secure those rooms. But pretty exciting, Emma. We'll have everything back by Christmas time.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Don't forget, if you do decide to take a vacation, to use Daydream Travel Agency.
I appreciate that plug, Emma.
You're welcome.
That is my Disney travel agency, the sponsor of our show, along with our wonderful patrons. So yeah, absolutely. There is no added cost to using a travel agent. I'd be very happy to help you plan any aspect of your Disney World, Disneyland, Cruise Line, or Aulani, or Adventures by Disney trip if you really want to do some splurging. But just feel free to reach out or head over to daydreamtravelagency.com. for more info. My most exciting news story was this announcement about the 50th. I love getting more details. It's just making me just really amped up. I know we just got back from Disney, but once this celebration hits, the world's most magical celebration, I don't think I'll be able to stay away. So many cool things are going to be here. So Emma's going to give us more details.
So Disney has just announced a brand new nighttime spectacular, Disney Enchantment, which will debut on October 1st for the 50th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom. And basically this is a new fireworks and projection show at Magic Kingdom. And it was created to launch with the world's most magical celebration. And it will take you on a journey filled with adventure, wonder, and empowerment. Inspiring everyone to believe in magic, Disney Enchantment will feature music, enhanced lighting, stunning fireworks, and, for the first time, immersive projection effects that extend from Cinderella Castle down Main Street, USA. And very exciting that the projections are going to be, like, extended.
That is so cool.
It's so cool. Like,
and brilliant concept art was released with it, because it pretty much just shows this golden pixie dust-like projection extending mm-hmm. all the way down Main Street. It's going to be incredible. Absolutely yeah. incredible. And I also think it's going to be packed.
Oh, absolutely.
So, and we've heard, well, a lot of other shows and other travel agents are saying that people definitely want to go, but they're not necessarily rushing to go after the first week. Like the first week of October, it's probably going to be madness.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, they're saying a lot of people are pushing the trip to 2022 because this thing is going to go on for 18 months. So it's not like I need to get here like between October and December. You're going to have yeah. plenty of opportunities to go down to Orlando before they end this show.
Yeah, and it's also cool because they're, like, with this new projection type thing being, like, all through Main Street, they're definitely going to continue to use that, and that's just another added magical effect that's going to come to the nighttime spectaculars at Magic Kingdom, and it's really cool.
Right. They'd be super smart to not just yeah. do away with it after this year and a half, I'm sure. If Happily Ever After ends up returning, it'll probably be modified to incorporate some yeah. of that.
So, next up, Walt Disney World President Jeff Vail confirmed that the new nighttime spectacular Harmonious will be premiering at Epcot also on October 1st, 2021 for the 50th anniversary. Harmonious was originally scheduled to debut last summer, but was delayed due to the pandemic, and until the debut of Harmonious, Epcot Forever will be presented daily, and that started on July 1st, as well as Happily Ever After, so.
Yeah, and I don't want to give too many spoilers about our trip, but while we were there, Emma and I were fast asleep at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah.
While everyone else, well, and Ben, it was us three.
Yeah.
The three of us were fast asleep while Kylie and our parents watched a preview of Happily Ever After, Magic Kingdom practicing the fireworks show, and mm-hmm. they could see them from our balcony.
They could hear the music.
And, yep, and hear the music too. Didn't think of waking us up, and we missed it. So,
as you can tell,
we still have not fully recovered from that.
No.
Ben was quite upset as well, and they didn't test them again. We actually found out from social media, following various accounts and everything, that the day they saw those was the final dress rehearsal, and then the night that we left, while we were sitting at the airport, they were launching them one last time on June 30th, giving a cast member preview. So we didn't luck out with that.
Sitting at the airport until 9:30, just waiting to board, just like we could have seen those. And yeah, it's really upsetting. I guess they all assumed that they would do it the next day or the day after, but
I have a tough question for you right here. I honestly, like, this is a real tough one. Where would you rather be on October 1st? Magic Kingdom, because that was the opening of Disney World and it's the 50th and you get to see the Disney Enchantment show its first night? Or would you rather be at Epcot to do Ratatouille and then to see the first Night of Harmonious?
Yeah, that's a hard one, but I love Magic Kingdom, but I'd probably say Epcot because of Ratatouille and
I think so too.
Harmonious. Like, I'd much rather, I don't know. It's kind of like two things versus one. So that's the only reason why I'd choose to go to Epcot over Magic Kingdom, just because there are two new things.
Yeah, I would say the same. I'm just a Ratatouille, a Remy stan.
Mm-hmm.
So can't get enough of that. But so cool to hear all these things coming for the 50th. They're also having these golden character statues located throughout the theme parks. I think there will be 50 of them that you can see. Great photo opportunities. I'm sure they'll be really beautiful. And yeah, so you'll have 18 months to make it down for the world's most magical celebration. Our last news story, some brand new casual dining locations have been announced for the Disney Wish. And the first one is called Marceline Market. And the second one is called Mickey and Friends Festival of Foods. Did I mention that I'm excited for the Disney Wish to debut? Just in case anybody, you know, there's any confusion surrounding that, I'll just say it again. I cannot wait for this ship to set sail. So named for Walt Disney's childhood hometown, Marceline Market will be styled as an old industrial loft that has been converted into a bustling marketplace that features 10 food stalls and a cafe-style beverage bar in the center. My favorite part about this, the owners of each food stall will be Disney characters themselves, and each stall will be themed to feature a beloved animated film like Ratatouille, Alice in Wonderland, Zootopia, Tangled, and more. Guests will be able to enjoy a wide-ranging variety of freshly prepared cuisines, and the market will be open for casual dining during breakfast and lunch, and table service dining for dinner. In the same kind of vein, Mickey and Friends Festival of Foods will have a design inspired by the seaside boardwalk scene from the new Mickey Mouse shorts. This open-air eatery will include 5 uniquely themed food stalls: Mickey's Smokestack Barbecue, Donald's Cantina, Daisy's Pizza Pies, Goofy's Grill, and Sweet Minnie's Ice Cream. So yes, this is where guests will go to get that iconic, delicious Disney Cruise Line soft serve. And this marks the first casual dining location where you can go to get barbecue or Mexican food on a Disney cruise ship. So these were two really fun casual dining locations, I thought. And I also thought it was just a really great option and so fun for families. And I love anything new that is themed towards the original Fab Five. Just, I love those classic characters. And to me, that screams like Disney Cruise Line. Mm-hmm. It screams like three things. It screams Disney Cruise Line, Magic Kingdom, and the Contemporary Resort. And I love all three of those things. And also, it's just so fun to expand the offerings of food by using some existing movie IP, like some cool French things from Ratatouille. Who knows, like, the sky's the limit theming a Zootopia eatery. Like, you could offer tons of stuff throughout there. So I just thought that this sounded like a really fun idea.
Yeah, that's so cool. Oh, that's so cool. To have, like, actual characters, you know, like, it's such a great idea. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I think my desire to cruise again was just accented even more today because we're preparing now for Emma's graduation party. And our mom brought out the old Disney Cruise Line pictures that our family took. So we were just combing through those and I was like, oh, it has been too long. We need to go back as soon as possible.
Oh, here's a question. Would you rather be in either Epcot or Magic Kingdom on October 1st or when the Wish, like, Beyond the Wish's first cruise.
Wow. I'm going to say the maiden voyage of the Wish.
Yeah, I'd say that too.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Just because, well, obviously going on October 1st is time sensitive. But like, there's only one maiden voyage. Mm-hmm. It's a unique itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like I'd have the same amount of fun regardless of when I go to do the 50th celebration.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, it'd probably be just more fun if you wait because it'll be so crowded.
True. I mean, the people that are going on the first probably know that they're not going to be able to do much. They just want to be in there. Mm-hmm. But in terms of riding more attractions, yeah. Yeah. It's better to just wait a few weeks. So make sure you stay tuned. Today, we are going to recap some of our favorite and least favorite moments from our vacation. And then we are going to end the day by giving you a few tips about traveling to Disney World and enjoying the theme parks in 2021. So that topic is coming right up. We have officially returned from a wonderful, wonderful 9-day trip down to Orlando. We did a split stay, so we started our vacation off at Old Key West and finished up at Wilderness Lodge. And we got to do Galaxy's Edge for the first time. We have not been back to Disney since the pandemic started, so it had been a while, and now we just wanted to talk about our experiences in the hope that some of these things can be applied to your next trip and can make your experience even better and even more magical. So let's start off with kind of the big thing. I mean, it's on most people's minds. Like, as COVID is coming more to a close, at least in our country, you know, do you think the restrictions that were in place at Disney really affected our trip at all?
Not the ones that were in place when we were there. I think it'd be a completely different story if we had to wear masks the whole time, but we were lucky enough to go after they changed it to only on transportation. Like, it switched from all the time to just when you're inside, and then like pretty close to when we went, it switched to just transportation. So, you know, like that was really the only thing that I feel like I really noticed, like that made me realize that COVID was still a thing. It really didn't feel like anything was that different. And then just wearing masks on the bus or any transportation is really not a big deal. Like, I don't...
No.
It wasn't anything, like, terrible, obviously. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, the temperature was comfortable on there.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely would have been a struggle, you know, to wear them all the time. And, I mean, I agree. I didn't really notice anything besides mm-hmm. the transportation thing. The first couple of days that we were there, cast members were refilling our reusable mugs that you can buy at the resorts, you know, for like $20, and then you get as much soft serve like drinks or as you want. So cast members were doing that, but that was only like for the first 2 days.
Yeah.
And then like, that switched back to normal too.
Yeah, things were really changing while we were there, which was interesting because, yeah, that changed. And well, the fairies didn't care if you had a mask or not.
Yeah, which, I don't know if that was a change.
I don't know if that was a
they'd
change
always
either,
been doing
but
it.
Yeah, definitely. And then, like, the crowds, I noticed a change. Because the first few days, the crowds weren't bad. The wait times were all pretty low. And then as the trip progressed, they got a little longer. So I think they were increasing capacity and yeah.
I totally agree. I think that the only days I noticed low crowds were Magic Kingdom and a little bit at Animal Kingdom. But after that, then it seemed like it was getting close-ish to normal summer crowds. Yeah. Not quite the level, but it was getting pretty close. Because our last day in Magic Kingdom, it was pretty crowded.
Yeah.
Our Hollywood Studios, the days we spent there, pretty crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And Epcot, fairly crowded.
Oh, you know what's weird is seeing Grand Fiesta Tour at a weight higher than Frozen.
Yeah, that was so strange.
That's weird.
We actually waited. The wait time was posted about 25 minutes. We actually waited a little more than 15 minutes. But anything more than 2 minutes is
it's a lot for that ride. It's always a walk-on.
I mean, the line was literally outside of the Mexico Pavilion. So it was very strange. Very strange. But if you're thinking that, you know, you can still get into Disney with low pandemic crowds right now, that's just over. Those days are gone. And if you're a person who still feels like they need that personal space when they go out, you're not going to find it at the theme parks because all social distancing, that's just gone. They're packing people in. They're operating everything, all the ride vehicles, all the shows, as many people as they can fit in to reduce those wait lines. It's just, the theme park feels very much like it used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of COVID restrictions ending, getting back up. It seems like they might be doing little bumps and capacity increases, maybe even every week, because we definitely noticed that during our trip. One of the big ticket items that we got to do finally was experience Galaxy's Edge and all the new Hollywood Studios attractions, Smuggler's Run, Rise of the Resistance, and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So would you consider any of these new things to make your top five attractions list?
Yeah. Rise of the Resistance is definitely in my top five now. It is just indescribable. It's genius. Every part of it is so carefully thought through, and it's just, it's not a ride, it is an attraction, you know? It's like the difference between just a ride and an attraction.
Yeah, like, some things, even now, it's like, oh, I know Disney calls everything attractions.
Yeah.
But if you call something a ride, like, it's interchangeable. But yeah. I agree. Until you, like, experience this, you don't really know that those two words are not interchangeable. Like, there's definitely a difference between a standard ride and what Rise of the Resistance is.
Yeah, and even, like, some of our favorite attractions, like Splash Mountain, for example, even though that's very, like, I mean, it's like a dark ride mixed with, like, a thrill ride, I guess. It's still not as much of an attraction. It's like a typical ride. I don't know. It's just next level. I really can't explain it without giving everything away. And
right. Well, refrain from spoilers, but I don't think that one disappointed. I mean, that would make my top five list too, because of all the things you said, multiple ride vehicles, you just feel immersed in a new way. Mm-hmm. It's just, they went above and beyond. I gave all of the attractions that were new at Hollywood Studios pretty much an A+. Smuggler's Run, I mean, that was fun too.
Yeah.
That one probably wouldn't make my top five, but I still liked it a lot, and I would, without a question, do it again.
Yeah, me too.
But then, Runaway Railway impressed me way more than I thought it would.
That's an attraction too.
Yes, that is an attraction for sure. And I'm just such a huge fan of this trackless ride system for so many reasons. Like, first off, you don't really know what to expect because you can't see what's coming next. Like, you could potentially move in any direction, and that makes your experience even more exciting. And it also allows you to do so many different types of movement. Mm-hmm. You're not just going like forwards, you're going back. Your vehicle can feel like it's moving in a different way, like you're floating, or in Runaway Railway, you know, like you're bouncing or you're dancing. So many fun possibilities there. And after doing some reflecting, just because of like the strong bond that I feel with those characters that are part of Runaway Railway, the original Fab Five, you know, just because I loved the music so much and every scene was so well thought out and creative, and it had you seeing a different like artistic style and moving in a different way, I think that I would place Runaway Railway even higher than Rise of the Resistance. I know that like Rise of the Resistance is better, but just for me, I can't get over how impressed I was.
Yeah. And it was fantastic. It was so cool. So creative. Like, I also love the trackless rides now. And yeah, I mean, I do think like, as a family who's less into Star Wars than, I guess, like, the more original Disney stuff, it's really impressive that we're putting that, like, we're putting Rise of the Resistance in our top five, and we aren't even that into Star Wars. And
right.
So, both of these attractions are so amazing. Smuggler's Run was great too. I loved it. I just have nothing negative to say, really, I don't think.
I would have preferred that they... Well, here's the thing. There is a really fantastic experience that you have at the very end of the Runaway Railway queue.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have preferred that they do something a little bit more throughout that queue process.
It's a really boring queue.
And a lot of it is just weaving around outside of the theater.
Yeah, and then when you get in, it's more weaving. And
yeah, you just see some posters.
Yeah, and I think I told someone that they should have the shorts going on inside the queue. It doesn't make any sense that they don't have shorts playing. It literally makes no sense.
Yeah, I definitely expected that to happen at some point. So it gives you something fun to do while you're just waiting around.
Yeah.
But it's almost weird to compare anything else to Rise of the Resistance because it's so unique. And that queue experience, I mean, it's basically part of the ride.
Yeah.
So it really does a lot to immerse you into that environment and get you in that right frame of mind. And this goes into the next question that I wanted us to answer today, and that's, did we end up changing our favorite theme park after this latest trip? For me, to the listeners that might not have heard this in previous episodes, my favorite theme park for our last... I mean, probably the last like 5-ish years for me has been Epcot. I just feel a special way when I'm there. World Showcase is like my favorite themed land in Disney. And I just love all of the really unique cultural and food experiences that you have throughout there. I just love exploring it. But I have to say, at the moment, when there's still construction going on, and after Hollywood Studios has created this really amazing Galaxy's Edge and Runaway Railway, I think I have to put that at the top of my list. And that's honestly wild, because previous to now, I've always loved Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Tower of Terror, but I think that Hollywood Studios might have been my number four.
Yeah.
So I think that literally might have jumped from four to one. That's honestly a testament to how great each theme park is now. If I could only go to Disney World for one day, I think the park I'd go to is Hollywood Studios, because I know that there are just so many fantastic attractions that are there to ride. With Rise of the Resistance and Runaway Railway, that's got two of my top five attractions now, and maybe number one and number... I don't know. I'm not going to revise my official list on the spot, but definitely it has two of my top five attractions at least. So I think I have to give the edge to Hollywood Studios. I will say I expect that to swing back to Epcot pretty quickly after they open Ratatouille and they have the new Harmonia show and Guardians of the Galaxy, which will be next year. So mm-hmm. I expect it to swing back. But now, if I could only choose one theme park, I'd go into Hollywood Studios.
You see, this is a tricky question. My favorite park has always been Magic Kingdom. But yeah, Hollywood Studios is really, really close, if not like higher than Magic Kingdom now. For all the same reasons, I mean, it's amazing. And then also, my favorite nighttime spectacular is Fantasmic. And that's at Hollywood Studios. And, like, obviously, not while we were there. Like, we couldn't see it. But if we had been able to see Fantasmic on this trip, without a doubt, Hollywood Studios would be at the top of my list now. So I have to...
That's a good point. Like, yeah. It just becomes that much stronger with Fantasmic at the end of the night. That would have marked the perfect day.
Honestly, yeah. Like,
and we liked the new stuff so much that we had planned on just not going into any theme park on Saturday when we were switching over to Wilderness Lodge. But we decided to rope drop Hollywood Studios again just because we lucked out getting another boarding group and we wanted to ride some stuff in the morning again. So we went back and it was a super, super hot day.
Yeah.
While we were waiting for that rope to drop, I was like, wow, did we really do this? I am baking right now. It feels like it's 95 degrees at 8:30, but yeah, we did it.
Yeah, worth it. Hollywood Studios, I mean, like Tower of Terror. I don't like Rock and Roller Coaster, but, you know, a lot of people love it. Slinky Dog Dash is awesome.
Yep.
And then all the new rides, it's like, plus Fantasmic. I don't know if you can really beat that.
So I'm sure what we just talked about is probably going to make this list, but what were your list of trip highlights?
Okay, obviously Rise of the Resistance and just like all of the new attractions and Galaxy's Edge in general, definitely a highlight. I got to build a droid, which is definitely a highlight.
That thing was so cute.
It is so cute. And it's wild. Basically, I did a BB series, which means it looks like BB-8, but it's all purple, and when you're in Galaxy's Edge, it interacts with its, like, environment, so it moves around and makes noises, and then you can also, like, control it with a remote control and an app, and you can get, like, a personality chip for it. It's so cool. It's just... so cool. Like, is it really expensive? Yes, but it's so cute. Yeah, so that was a really fun thing to do. Then getting into Oga's Cantina, crazy. We kind of just...
yeah, we'll talk about that in more depth a little bit later on, but that was definitely a highlight.
And then, you know, like exploring new resorts was awesome. This is so random, but I made a friend in the queue for Flight of Passage because I had to go to the bathroom. And earlier in the day, I had noticed a bathroom in the middle of the queue. So I used it. The person in front of me, so the bathroom didn't lock and someone was in the other one. So the person in front of me asked me if I could, like, watch the door for her. And then she watched it for me. So then we, like, or actually it might have been flipped. Doesn't matter. So then we had to, like, go and find our groups together. And, yeah, that was a highlight for some reason. I don't know. So a lot of highlights, but.
Yeah, so obviously the Hollywood Studios stuff for me. You know, some of my favorite moments from the trip happened when we were outside of the theme parks.
Mm-hmm.
And I particularly enjoyed the time that we had at Disney Springs and the day we switched to Wilderness Lodge. And then we also got to take some time outside of the parks to ride the Skyliner and be at Riviera for a bit. Those were all really fun to me because sometimes you end up interacting with your party a little bit more. The theme parks are, you know, it's a tiring experience, and you'd think that you'd be having all these conversations in lines, but a lot of the time you're just like, I just want to get on this ride. Yeah. We're just walking. We're kind of in a daze. And we did, like, play some fun games in lines at times, but a lot of the time it's just, it's hot, and you want to get to the front of that line. So we just had a lot of fun. And then there were the day that we did switch to Wilderness Lodge, we scoped out a place right by the lake and we had some food. We hung out there for like 3 or 4 hours. We ended up seeing the electrical water pageant pass.
Underwhelming, but
yeah,
a good experience.
Yeah. Yep. And playing some games. So that was great. All of those really fun moments.
Yeah.
I'm going to shout out one of the coolest dining experiences I've ever had at Disney, Raglan Road. That's where we ate at Disney Springs. It was a huge hit. We got to see some live entertainment, music, and river dance. Fantastic, fantastic food. Just absolutely phenomenal fish and chips. They had the traditional Irish stuff, but it was elevated. I had an incredible shepherd's pie. I'm still, like, weeks later now, I'm still thinking about that, Emma. It was just such a good meal in a fun environment. So, shout out to Raglan Road. That was a highlight. I love these Loungefly backpacks now.
Oh my gosh.
These mini backpacks. I'm sure if you're listening and you're a huge Disney fan, you've seen these, at least in some form. Maybe you have them. But all I wanted to do was buy these things while I was there. I am, like, totally into this stuff now. And we were, like, looking at the ones we particularly liked that people were wearing. And if we didn't see them in the parks, we'd, like, look them up. And some of them have been discontinued. And now they're selling on eBay for, like, $200 or $300. So they're little collector's items now. And I was all in for that. And then, you know, doing the split stay. I think it's an incredible way to travel. Especially if you're doing a long trip like us, like 8 nights, that was really good for a split stay. I don't think I'd like to be at a resort 2 nights one place, 2 nights another place. I'd be a little rushed.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to have Old Key West for 5 nights and then Wilderness Lodge for 3 nights, that was a good length of time.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I mean, we still liked Old Key West on that 6th day, but
we're gonna give a lot of in-depth thoughts about these resorts next time, so that's why we haven't really gone much into our rooms or how we enjoyed them so far, but we were not disappointed. There's nothing horrific that we have to say about these places. Lots of positivity there, so I just love the split stay and then interacting with some great cast members.
Yeah.
Honestly, that was a highlight, especially Emma and I went into the community center.
Oh my gosh.
And we got to talk with some fantastic people. And yeah, Disney has a lot of incredible cast members who really do a lot to make your experience pleasant. They were just so nice. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like, I don't know, you know, like the Jungle Cruise vibes. I feel like more cast members had those vibes. Like, it was like more laid back, because it used to be very like, this is my job. I have to constantly smile and act like I love everything about life and that I'm like happy all the time. It was more like authentically happy.
Yeah. Well, I think they did a good job of reading the guest.
Yeah.
And understanding like where they're coming from. Like, mm-hmm. okay, is this guest in the mood to like talk and joke around?
Yeah.
Or are they actually asking a legitimate question? Do I need to like provide some real help here? They were just very good at tapping into what you were feeling and kind of like meshing with that.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to have to bring up, I mean, there were some disappointing things that happened on this trip. So many more positives than negatives, which is great. But there were a couple lowlights. So one kind of funny, embarrassing lowlight that was totally my fault was the fact that we were trying to get over to Boardwalk because we think that area is so cool. We love the Wyland Art Gallery that's there, Thimble and Threads. It's a fantastic gift shop. So we just like being in that area. And I misremembered. We usually get there by taking a bus to Hollywood Studios and then walking there. But the Hollywood Studios bus situation wasn't great over our trip. So I thought that we could do the same thing by taking the Epcot bus. But of course you can't, because that's connected by the International Gateway and you can't walk there. And we obviously didn't have a park reservation for that day. So we pretty much got to Epcot. We were screwed because the buses weren't going to the other theme parks until park hopping happened.
It was so early. Like,
it was, yeah, it was even, it was way before Epcot opened. So we just had to Uber it to Boardwalk, and it took a while longer. It was my fault. So I'm owning that. And then we had a really poor Splash Mountain situation. Basically, the ride had been broken down at multiple points throughout the day. And we noticed that it went back online maybe around 7-ish, and the park was closing at 9. Mm-hmm. So we got in line as quickly as we could. We ended up waiting in the line for an hour, and it closed down again. And they said that they weren't going to reopen before the end of the night. Certain people got fast passes because of this. So they are doing that now. If you wait in a line for a long enough period of time and it breaks down, they'll give you a fast pass to use at any other attraction. We were literally three parties behind that cutoff. And let me just remind you, we had been in the line for a full hour. So we understood that there has to be like some type of cutoff point. Like, you can't, if somebody's been in the line for 2 minutes, they're not getting a fast pass if it breaks down. But waiting an hour and not being able to get that was pretty frustrating, mm-hmm. especially being so close. And we heard somebody else in line talk about how they waited for 40 minutes for Space Mountain. It broke down and they received a fast pass. So we felt that there was also just some, it just wasn't consistent mm-hmm. throughout the day. So that was just kind of disappointing. And you know, probably most of our listeners know how much we love Splash Mountain. So we only were able to ride that once on our trip, the first day that we got there, and we couldn't do it on our final day. So it just left a little bit of a bitter taste.
Yeah, that happened at the very end of our last day, which just sucks.
Yeah, we pretty much couldn't even hop into line at anything else.
Yeah, like by the time we would get to even like Mine Train, it'd be probably 9 already. So it was like, it was really, really frustrating. And I think one of the worst parts was that no one told us what was happening.
That was an example of poor cast member interaction because nobody came out to say anything to us.
Yeah. They did this like announcement thing, I guess.
And we couldn't even really hear where we were in the queue. Like, we couldn't hear what they were saying.
Yeah. And it was like, if you're in this area, go that way. And this area, go the other way. I don't know. But it was super unclear what we were supposed to do. So, like, a bunch of people just waited. And then, like, no one could even move because you have to, like, hop over this, like, rail thing where we were. And, yeah, it was just a really frustrating end to the trip, especially because Splash Mountain is, like, all of our favorite rides. Yeah, and because we don't know if we'll ever, like, ride that version of Splash Mountain again, which
we would have prepared a little bit more if we thought that was going to be our last experience on that. Because we're not sure, obviously, when the re-theme to Princess and the Frog is happening. But did you have any other lowlights that you wanted to point out to the listeners?
Well, no. I don't know. I think that was the main thing. And I can't really think of anything else, but I have a very, like, mediocre, like, just straight up in the middle thing. We rode Living with the Land.
Oh, yeah. We tried that out again.
I had, like, no memory of it except for, like, this first, like, storm part. And it wasn't too bad. It was really long, not necessarily entertaining, but it wasn't awful. It was just mediocre. I'm glad we did it. Definitely not an every trip type of thing.
Yeah.
But,
better than I remembered, but still, I don't feel the need to do that again.
Yeah, like, if you have to eliminate something, just eliminate that. It's not very fun, and it's too long, but it's, I guess, a good place for a nap, so.
Yeah, very true. All right, so let's end today by sharing some pieces of advice, some tips. If you're going to the theme parks in 2021, hopefully, you know, learning from the things that we learned or from our mistakes, whichever. My first tip is just to, you know, think about transportation before you start your day. Obviously, I shared my embarrassing story, but be cognizant that because of the way that park hopping works now, you can't just bus to one theme park early and then bus over to Disney Springs or bus over to another theme park. That is being held off until the afternoon. Also, on the My Disney Experience app, I think it's on the app now, you can actually see projected departure times for the buses. And if you look at those, or if you call down to the front desk, they'll tell you that the buses will leave about an hour before the park opens, but there's going to be a full round of buses that leaves even before that first published time. So if you want to be super early and legitimately be one of the first in the park, you can get down to that bus station closer to an hour and a half early, and you'll probably be set. My next tip, and this relates to our Splash Mountain experience. If you're going down to Disney just to experience one attraction, then don't come. Like, if you think that your trip would be absolutely ruined if you couldn't get on a certain ride, then you should consider spending your vacation budget somewhere else, because so many different factors go into you being able to ride something nowadays. As technology increases, you know, things are breaking down. Like, things are more complicated to operate. There are mechanical issues. Weather is always a factor. And virtual queues and any number of those things can go wrong, and that can keep you from an attraction. Of course, the number one concern for most people right now is just being able to get on to Rise of the Resistance. And if they can't do that, then their trip would be ruined. But as capacity continues to increase, it's going to become an even bigger crapshoot to get into that virtual queue. More and more people are going to be trying to do it. And you just can't, there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees that you can ride that ride and secure your party a boarding group. I just also wanted to add on to this point. If you're watching like a YouTube tutorial about the best way to do that, take that with a grain of salt. It's kind of BS. Some people are going to swear by using Disney's Wi-Fi. Some people will swear by not doing that and by using your cell phone's data plan. The truth is, you should pay attention to what's been consistently working faster for you during your trip, and you should use that. And if you can get one person on Wi-Fi, one person using cellular data, that's probably a really good option. I don't think you need to overload that stuff and have multiple people on Disney's Wi-Fi trying to do it, but I don't think there's necessarily a better option. I ended up getting our boarding groups both times, and I was the person we designated to use Disney's Wi-Fi, but we were also at Old Key West, and the people are spread out. There's not as many people bugging down the Wi-Fi at one time at that particular resort. If we were at Grandestino Tower or place at Caribbean Beach or Art of Animation, it might have been the opposite way, and maybe our cellular network would be a better idea. But I just think, you know, if this happened both times, we went to Magic Kingdom and we couldn't ride Splash Mountain either days, oof, that would have been a much, much bigger low light. And if you're a person who's just into Star Wars and you have to ride Rise of the Resistance, that's the reason you're going to Disney, I don't think that's a smart plan. And my last piece of advice here is, if you aren't able to reserve a dining reservation, go to the host or hostess when that place opens and request to be placed on a walk-in list. Some places are going to tell you you have to do it through the app. You have to make a reservation, and if anything opens up, it'll show up on the app. But some people will do the old-fashioned wait list. You can put your party on it, and you can possibly get into the place. And that's how we were able to get into Oga's Cantina, and it turned out to be awesome.
It was so cool.
Yeah, luckily Dad just decided, you know, hey, why not? We should just go up and ask, do you have any openings? And we waited for about 35 minutes, and we were able to get in and enjoy the place. So it never hurts to ask, and the worst that can happen is that they can say, no, we're full today, we don't have anything.
Yeah, definitely worth it. Definitely do that. Okay, getting into my tips. All right, this might be dramatic, but I'm just going to say don't even bother with the ferry. It's nice. And it's like really convenient if you're, you know, like we were at Wilderness Lodge. It was very convenient to just take the ferry. But the wait really just is not worth it, in my opinion. And the buses are faster.
Yeah, the bus wait was shorter each time.
Yeah, and it's really just, with the ferry, it's just luck. If you get there right when it, like, is coming up, perfect. But if you don't, it could be, like, 40 minutes. Not even kidding. It can be a long wait.
Yeah, I think around that half hour mark. Yeah. Because in the middle of the day, I think they're just operating one route, just one ferry going back and forth between Magic Kingdom and the resort. So that put the wait at around half an hour. In the mornings and evenings at park close, I think they're probably running two ferries. So that cut down on the wait. There are also more people that are running to get to and from at those times, so you have to factor that in. But I agree, the ferry is definitely more for the experience of it, which I enjoy doing, like, once, you know? but it wasn't necessarily a faster option.
Our last day at Magic Kingdom, our dad and I went to Starbucks at the end of the day, and everyone else went back to the resort, and we left probably like at least 30 minutes after you guys, didn't we? I don't know.
Probably around there.
Yeah. We went to the bus, waited for a little bit, got on the bus, got home. Like, I'd say we got home 5 to 10 minutes before they got there. When we were there, they were like just about to get onto the ferry, like once we got back to the resort. So it's just like, if you're trying to get home at the end of a very long day, just take the bus. Next, I'd say just to get a Magic Band instead of using an Apple Watch, because I mean, like, I used a Magic Band, but Kylie and Ben both used their Apple Watches, and I feel like it was kind of always like a bit of a stressor that it wouldn't work. And for the most part, they worked fine. There were some issues with, like, room key type things.
Yeah, accessing the room, which is pretty big. And yeah. There was one bad, like, getting into the park day. So
I feel like it was just, like, hard. And every time we were in a situation where we needed to, like, scan something, it was kind of like, okay, make sure everything's set with the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
It'll probably get better.
Yeah.
But it's still a little bit finicky right now because it's in such a new stage of development. But you could even tell, even the cast members, some of them weren't completely comfortable with scanning via Apple Watch at this time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like that much of an added cost to get a Magic Band. So.
And they're cool. I mean, I just think it's so fun. Like, that's how you know. It's just so much better than a wristband.
Oh, yeah.
They're great. I plan on using that well into the future, hopefully.
I forgot to take mine off for a couple days. I didn't realize I still had it on. Last thing, if you're looking for breakfast in Magic Kingdom, go to Sleepy Hollow. It's in Liberty Square, and they have amazing waffles, and we discovered it our last day.
Shout out to the person we were rope dropping with who gave us the recommendation.
Yeah, great waffles. They had like waffles with strawberries and powdered sugar and whipped cream, which is what we both got.
Yeah, it was delicious. Yeah,
and then our dad and Kylie got this like waffle Nutella sandwich with like fruit in it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I think it may be the best Mickey waffle I've ever had.
Yeah, truly. It was so good. So, and we just like ordered ahead and
not even a place I'd considered going.
Yeah, I didn't know it really existed. So, if you're looking for breakfast, Sleepy Hollow.
Yep, and I'd also have to say Skipper Canteen.
Oh, yeah.
Another newer place that I don't think a ton of people know about as of yet. And it's a little bit hidden away, but it's a huge restaurant. It's well-themed. Great interaction with cast members. Our server was phenomenal and hilarious. Yes. And the food was really great, too. I think it might have been Ben and Dad's favorite meal of the whole trip. So Skipper Canteen, an absolute must try if you're in Magic Kingdom. So there we go. Just a few pieces of advice from our most recent trip. We'll make sure that we allow Kylie to give her perspective on all of that our next episode. So stay tuned for that in about 2 weeks. Thank you so much for listening again. We really had a phenomenal time. It's always such a joy and great family memories when we're able to go down together to Disney. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Disney Daydream Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join us for the next one. Remember, be kind to one another and take the time to find a magical moment in each and every day.